it, make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
OTA's underway here in Berea. The second practice of the week, just about in the books. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagora, we were down there watching most of it before we came on the air with Hugh. And this will be the headline story, but we'll explain kind of how this stuff is working. But the headline is going to be Johnny Manziel working with the third string and what's up with that. And we've already seen a lot of social media on that because media that was allowed to cover this is the first media availability of OTAs, noting that fact. And yes, indeed, Johnny Manziel working with third strings, and in fact, with the third stringers, Tyler Thigpen was working as the starting quarterback today, Nathan. That caught your attention a little bit.
It did catch my attention a little bit, and yeah, right now, Brian Hoyer, it was the number one, but didn't participate in the 11-on-11s that we have seen thus far today as they're protecting his knee, recovering from the ACL.
Got the brace.
Tyler Thigpen is number two, no question about it. He got the first reps in the 11-on-11 drills both times that we saw today. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny Manziel is number three. And listen, that's the way that it is. This is not going to be the case for very long, in my opinion, as I watch these plays and watch these practices, and I've seen every one of Johnny Manziel's now. His confidence is growing by the day. His quickness, his mental quickness in terms of processing his information and getting the football out is improving day by day, and he's starting to look much improved. And I thought it really started at the end of yesterday's practice and certainly carried on over into today. But if you think Johnny Manziel's with the third team and Justin Gilbert's with the first team and Joel Bitonio's with the first team and Christian Kirksey's with the first team, you would be wrong. Not a single rookie is with the first team right now. And it's early.
And it's the coach's way, I think, even though he might not say this publicly, or maybe he will, of humbling these guys, not just Johnny Manziel, making sure these rookies understand that they have to earn their way. Paul Kruger, for instance, not working with the first group. And that was notable because, again, here's a guy who was the biggest investment of last year's free agency market. But the argument could be made by the coaching staff as they assessed everybody. Hey, look, this is what we saw on tape. The previous coaching staff might have thought something else. This is what we think. And with regard to Johnny Manziel, I think it's very, very early in the process. There is nothing to read into the fact that he's third string now. Does that mean he doesn't have the skill level or whatever to compete? Hardly at all. What it really reflects is this. Not only is it a matter of knowing the playbook and getting to know the playbook better, and I think he's made progress with that, it's also knowing the people around him, working with these receivers. And there are a lot of people in, I think, 14 receivers that are under contract. About half of them are practicing, others being held out just for conditioning reasons or just recovering from hurts like Nate Burleson. And he doesn't have any sense of how these guys run their routes, their depth. He's learning that as it goes along. It's true for the other quarterbacks as well. But I think the biggest difference, for instance, between a Brian Hoyer and a Johnny Manziel, Hoyer will make the necessary adjustments to a receiver as he anticipates where he's going to go with his routes, whereas with Manziel, he could overthrow the guy who undercuts the route. He can underthrow the guy who takes the route too deep.
I think it's a matter of, right, as you said, getting your timing down. And by the way, reports coming in now that Brian Hoyer is getting reps with the ones in 11-on-11 drills as we speak, as the OTA continues here for the Browns. Right now, and apparently through an interception on his first pass to Tayshawn Gibson, the safety who's looked very good. And I would say the defense has been good. What I've noticed between Hoyer and Manziel thus far to me is that obviously, and as to be expected, Brian Hoyer mentally ahead of Johnny Manziel, playing quicker sure. decisions, knows where to go with the football, knows what the route should be, etc. Whereas Manziel is getting up to speed there. And I think it'll be very interesting when those two are on equal footing in knowledge base. That's when I think you're really going to see this competition begin.
Yeah, because you're already seeing a more confident Manziel from yesterday to today. That was noticeable while he was out there. I thought you know, watching parts of what he did yesterday, there was a clear sense that he wasn't entirely happy with himself, but not so much because of his inability to do things. It's just not seeing what he needs to see or recognize or have that feel for people that are around him. Now he's getting that feel. He's getting that recognition, and you could see it. You could see it in the way he performs. I think the other thing that's notable is that the defense, as always, is ahead of the offense. You're seeing guys jump routes. You're seeing guys tip passes. You're seeing a lot of balls that might have been completions maybe or in games that a quarterback will put in the right spot. A receiver either lets it clang off his hands. That happened once with Anthony Armstrong. And then a DB is there to make the play. A guy who is really flying around the field that jumps out. Not that we don't expect anything less, but I love Joe Hayden's approach to this thing. He's brought the higher level of energy that I see, a level of confidence. He knows he's the man out there, too, in light of this contract that he got last week. And he's just performing accordingly. He is setting the tone for this defense.
And he's taking on that vocal leadership role. And we talked about Joe Hayden now being the top paid player on the team and how he's got to do that. He's done it at practice, getting into some good battles there with Josh Gordon. And Joe Hayden looks great. He looks like he's taking this new leadership on head on and embracing it. He was vocal out there. The defense was looking good. I thought the offense made some plays as well, but certainly the defense looking good. And for those of you wondering, the reports are, yes, Brian Hoyer is taking some drills in the 11-on-11, taking some reps, but the pass rush, nobody's getting even close to him.
Right.
The D linemen not really coming off the line of scrimmage. They don't want to risk any injury to Brian Hoyer. So the Ohio Business Machine's hot topic of the day, number one, is the OTAs are underway. The media was there. By the way, not much of a media storm for the people that were so angry about the rookie minicamp.
Where were they?
Where are they? The NFL Network is represented and ESPN represented as well.
But that's standard.
That's standard.
Just for the record, I mean, they were there pretty much through all of the off-season workouts last year. There was no Johnny Manziel story a year ago, and you still had NFL Network here for a good portion of the workouts, and ESPN showed up as well, excuse me, but the clamoring, the writers who talked about wanting to be here, notably a guy named Bart Hubbuck from the New York Post, who made as big a stink as anybody and critical of the Browns. And I think really to them, the story was, oh, they're banning media. Now I might not go, but I want the choice to go or not go.
Right.
And now, you know, the answer will be, well, you know, I was available last week. I'm not available this week. Dude, it's open. And I didn't see any. I saw the local media and, like we said, the two national outlets that are routinely at most of these OTAs.
No question about it. The other big story is the Browns confirming that they have hired Bill Kuharik, who has been helping as a consultant to Ray Farmer throughout the draft process. He has now been named the executive chief of staff in a key addition to the organization. And the team has also signed Larry Grant, linebacker, veteran inside linebacker, guy who played very well for the 49ers a couple years ago when Patrick Willis was injured.
Right.
He did a good job filling in. He's an inside linebacker, can cover a little bit. I thought he was one of the standouts in the rookie minicamp, as street free agents are also invited in to participate in those things. I thought he did a pretty good job in those, and he's a guy that I think could help this team going forward. Was with Chicago last year, San Francisco before that. Larry Grant, interesting guy. They signed a veteran who can play inside from the Ohio State University, of course.
Yeah, and the Billy Kuharik addition to the personnel staff, a key one, because Bill brings a lot of veteran presence. He's the guy who was responsible for getting Ray Farmer to Kansas City. That's where they previously worked, so they had history, very like-minded in their approach to personnel. Billy did a lot of detail work, obviously, leading up to and during the draft, and also a key guy with pro personnel moves. And you're going to see a different philosophical approach to how personnel is acquired. A lot of references to play like a Brown, all those standards that are thrown around, those terms. They mean something, and they mean something certainly to Mike Pettine, but they also mean a lot to the player personnel department, because you have to draft and acquire players that fit the profile of what your coaching staff is trying to do. Now, the general approach is to make your schemes work for your talent, but there's no doubt that the physical prototypes and even the mental makeup of the players that you bring in, when this is working right, there is a complete meshing that they completely tie into what an understanding of what this coaching staff wants. And you'll see the changes when you see certain guys bounced out of here. And you could say, well, some of it's obvious they didn't perform well before, but it's also that they just don't fit the profile of what this team wants. I'm going to use Greg Little as an example. He might have been the easy call that wouldn't have been here regardless of if there was a coaching change, but he certainly wasn't a guy that fit the profile of what this team was looking for in terms of the all-in players and the players who are physically able to do not only work this offense the way Kyle Shanahan wants it to work or work the defense the way Mike Pettine wants it, Jim O'Neill, the coverage linebackers and so forth. And you're going to see those more active players, especially on defense like a Billy Winn, have a better shot to stick and get more playing time with this team. You can see the guys who are, and again, I don't want to pigeonhole them this way, but who are the real Pettine guys who are fitting into the new way of doing it. Because that's how this works in the league. You can say all you want. Everybody gets a fair chance. Well, everybody gets a chance if they're tied in with the vision of the coach with the personnel staff. It's like any company building its personnel.
No question about it, and you're going to see that, I think, over the course of this summer as this team gets its roster down to the final 53. Who fits the system best on offense for Kyle Shanahan? Who fits Jim O'Neill's and Coach Pettine's system on defense the best? You're going to see those guys taking on bigger roles and being the ones that make it here. For those wondering, yes, Josh Gordon is participating in OTAs. Josh Gordon continues to look dominant. He looks like, obviously, one of the best players in the league because that's what he is. Very, very good. There was one play in the 11-on-11s where Johnny Manziel hit Gordon on a deep post for a big play that certainly could be a harbinger of things to come for this Cleveland Browns franchise. We're going to talk today a lot about, or not a lot, but we're going to talk today a little bit about what we've seen in the OTAs, maybe some guys who have caught our eye, some under-the-radar surprises in the early going. Vic and I will address those. We've got a big show in terms of guests today. Yeah. Miles Austin, the new wide receiver of the Cleveland Browns, will join us in the second hour. And at 2:45, Ray Farmer, the general manager of the Browns, will be with us in studio to talk about this roster now that it has been basically, for the most part, constructed. We'll find out if there's more work to be done, in his opinion, on this roster. But he joins us in studio at 2:45. So Austin and Farmer in the second hour. It's also Mailbag Wednesday, so you can tweet us at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag mailbag, and we'll have a couple segments devoted exclusively to reading and answering your tweets here on this program today, as we like to do on Mailbag Wednesday.
You know, we haven't had a chance really to sit down with Ray Farmer since the draft, and it would be great to hear his insights not only on the roster as it's put together right now, and of course there are changes. You just mentioned the addition of a linebacker just happening within the last 24 hours, and there will be more changes as it goes forward. But my question is, one of the things I really want to know from him is, are we looking at the majority of what this roster is going to look like going to training camp, and how much of that roster stays intact, barring injury, into the season? Because a year ago, this football team did something I didn't see a lot of teams do, and it was dramatically remake the bottom end of the roster with about, what, a week or less leading up to the regular season. And I thought that was kind of bizarre in many ways, and I don't know that it worked out very well. Again, almost nothing works out well when you're a 4-12 football team, but those were some of the moves that had a lot of heads scratching, including some on the coaching, a lot on the coaching staff. I remember Norv Turner kind of giving me a look like, I've never seen anything like that in my coaching life. And Norv's been around a while. So those were some of the private reflections that I think some of the staff had and didn't love it. It'll be interesting to see now, again, different people in charge, how that'll be handled. I can't imagine from – I understand you've got to find – people that are available and try to always upgrade when you can and if you think you can. But just because you get a player from another team that's been cut doesn't mean you're making your roster better just because right. A guy was out there. I think I want to know there's a specific plan, a specific metrics to this that you're identifying people, right, who are significantly better or just better than what you have.
Better, right. That's what you're looking to upgrade the roster, obviously, at the end. Certainly on the bottom of the roster, upgrade it, get more upside, get a higher ceiling from those guys. And we'll talk about Ray Farmer, about his philosophy now on how to build the roster, that he's been through his first draft. We'll find out what he thought of the draft and what it was like to be in that room for him throughout that process. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Talk about Hoyer versus Johnny. Johnny Manziel with the third team. What do you think about that? Is that making you freak out a little bit? None of the rookies are with the first team as the Browns get their offseason work just starting today. And this process will continue, obviously, through July and training camp. Also, it is Mailbag Wednesday, so tweet any Browns questions you have to @Browns_daily and use the hashtag mailbag, and we'll get to those at 1:45. Nathan Zgura, Vic Carucci, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.